You don't like to wait around, right? You use the automated checkout at your grocery store. You don't need a clerk. You just swipe the milk, swipe the aspirin, and the Fig Newtons have a crinkly container on it. I'm having trouble getting the scan on the Fig Newton. There it is. Okay. But anyway, it's pretty quick, though. You know, you just go on your way. Well, today Amazon took this idea further. They opened a store in Seattle's Belltown neighborhood where you walk in, swipe your phone, pick up your groceries, and walk out. No checkout lines, no individual scanning items, almost no employees there, just sensors and cameras. So now we're going to find out, what is that convenience? And what's it going to cost you? So we have two guests. First, from the tech news site, GeekWire, Todd Bishop, who got a demo last week and bought some Odwalla. Hiya, Todd.
Hi, Bill.
And you went again this morning.
I did.
Okay. I want to know, how do they know that was you leaving the store with your Odwalla?
When you walk into the Amazon Go store, you have the app installed on your phone, and it has a QR code unique to you. And from that point, there are cameras overhead, color cameras and depth sensors, which combine with weight sensors in the shelves to track you through the store and to follow your interactions with the shelves. So
they know what you picked up because the cameras are watching you move around and pick things up? That's it?
Exactly. And you do nothing beyond that point except pick something off the shelf. If you put it back, they know you put it back. I tried this morning with two different types of salads. I grabbed one type of salad and then, held it, close to me and then put it back and then grabbed the other one right on top of it. And I walked out. And moments later, it's actually this morning, it was a few minutes later, they send a receipt to the app and they knew which salad I had actually taken out. It tracked it precisely.
And again, it's not about scanning you as you walk out. There's Todd and this is what's in his basket or his arm or anything like that. It's watching you pick up things and put them back or not.
Yes, exactly. But then it treats the person in the store, as an Amazon executive told me last week, as an entity. You are an entity moving through the store. And so they know that you've first picked up the item off the shelf and then they know that you've exited.
Right.
And at that point, they can debit your account.
Got it. And how convenient was that?
Super convenient. I walked in and out last week in the test, picked up an Odwalla, and I was out in 23 seconds. And I don't care how fast your 7-Eleven clerk is, the chances of you being able to charge something like that to your account and get in and out of the store in 23 seconds is pretty much impossible.
Okay. Todd says convenient. Now we're going to talk about what is that convenience going to cost you. First of all, Todd, any thoughts on that? Did you feel any downside?
Well, I felt almost like I would feel when I was browsing an online web page and knowing that somebody was tracking my every click, my every hover of the mouse over a link. And, it did make me feel very much like it was a physical retail experience created by someone who specialized in e-commerce, which is exactly what it is.
Now let's bring in a privacy expert, University of Washington law professor Ryan Calo. Good to see you, Ryan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
What do you think? What does you haven't shopped at this Amazon Go store, I take it?
Not yet. Nope.
Okay. What do you think from Todd's description, what will all that convenience cost us?
Well, let me first say that actually it's not obvious that it's all bad for privacy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, one way it could be good for privacy is that you don't feel like you have to confront somebody when you buy something sensitive. Right. You don't feel like you have to, check out those condoms or whatever it is that you're trying to get. Right. And so there might be a sense in which people experience it as privacy liberating. Right. But, as Todd points out, they really, truly are trying to recreate in a real world environment the kind of exquisite granular detail that they get online. And that's one thing that concerns me, frankly. And it concerns me precisely because I worry that they're going to use that data in ways that ultimately disadvantage the consumer.
I want to talk about this. First of all, my reaction is my local QFC knows what I buy. My credit card company knows what I buy. Lots of stores have surveillance cameras. So explain, what is the extra information that Amazon would be getting on us?
Well, look, I mean, it's true that that, you know, Safeway knows, you know, eventually if you have a loyalty card, like what you bought, right? But what they don't know is that you almost bought the Lucky Charms. Like you reached for it, you weren't really certain. They don't know the expression on your face of excitement that you when you first saw that they were carrying a product that you hadn't seen in a while, right? And so there's really a kind of a detail of information that's not available. But in addition,
But what's wrong with that? So they know what I almost what made my eyebrows go up. So what?
Sure. So in a online environment, not only do companies have a ton of information about individual consumers, but they also control and structure every aspect of that interaction. And I'll take a pretty simple example, which is price. Okay, things cost $9.99. Because it feels to us like further away from $10 than it is, right?
Yeah.
And so, but imagine that Amazon could charge you exactly the most you'd be willing to pay for a product. And so the fact that you are elated about the new shipment of Theo's chocolates might mean that you might actually experience a higher price. Now, is that being done today in Amazon Go stores? I'd be shocked if it were.
But Todd, what do you think? Is that
no?
Is Amazon charging me the same thing it charges everybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. So the prices are consistent throughout.
So far,
however, on the website, right, there was a kerfuffle a few years ago where Amazon was charging people different amounts based on what they figured out about how likely you were to be a repeat customer. And so my concern about taking that incredible granularity and that mediation and introducing it into the real world is that there are many more opportunities to maximize the profit of Amazon or whoever's doing it. The other thing I would worry about is frankly, cybersecurity. And when I talk to experts in cybersecurity at the University of Washington and elsewhere, they raise some concerns as well. So those are the two big things. Is this all going to be good for consumers where they know so much about us? And also, what are the security ramifications?
Okay, well, I'm not done talking about the idea of me paying more than somebody else, which could create winners and losers, I would think. So if Amazon thinks that I don't have much money, maybe, you know, based on what I buy, maybe they don't charge me as much. Or they can tell, man, Radke really likes Fig Newtons. He'd probably pay more than the average person for Fig Newtons. Well, they're right. I would. So I start with Todd. What's the problem with that?
I think to take this even a step further, what Ryan's talking about when you're applying online principles to physical retail, Amazon has this immense power because it has all of this data online. And one of the things that online retailers do in particular very well is what's called retargeting, where you are indicating a preference for something, and then they hit you with ads that test the edges of that preference and say, okay, you lingered. And you could see this happening in the retail store where you linger over a product and you pick it off the shelf and you put it back, and then you go on to Amazon.com, and then they're hitting you with an ad. And I think, and to be clear, I asked about this. Amazon is not doing this right now with the data from Amazon Go. But the store demonstrates that potential. The technology is there. They have the power.
Yeah.
And it's just a question of whether they would want to test the limits of personal privacy in that way.
So, Ryan, we're not used to Amazon or some corporation knowing that I lingered or I pick it up, I put it back, or I looked excited. So it feels weird, but that is information they can use or not use when they send me an ad, and I can respond to that ad by buying or not buying. So what am I giving up in that situation?
Well, I mean, my concern in this area, right, and the concern of consumer protection law in general is about asymmetry of information and of power, right? It's not just that, of course, they can observe something, and so could I guess, and I can make changes to my behavior and choices. But at the end of the day, they have so much information, not just about me, but about everybody else. And they have this power to really construct my experience. And the concern of consumer protection law is the idea that they would abuse it. Now, I'll give you another example that doesn't involve paying too much, because you're right. There are winners and losers when you do price discrimination. And that's actually a feature of it, not a bug. But imagine that you're trying to cut something out of your diet. And Amazon has noticed that, you know, you often will buy these chocolates or you'll buy this thing of brandy or whatever when you shop for things. And they notice that this particular time you haven't done it. And you're real close. Like you really, it's been quite a lot of willpower you spent not buying that chocolate.
Yeah.
And you're on your way out and all of a sudden you get a ping on your phone that says, hey, did you forget the chocolate, right? Just in the same way as Microsoft says, I see that you mentioned an attachment in your email, but did you want to attach something? And that is, I think that is not just possible. I think it's highly plausible and highly likely that as we go forward. And so, you know, these things are not always bad for consumers, and I've never claimed that, but they're not always good. And I think that convenience is only part of the picture.
Right. I can be weak. I can be irrational. Companies already play on that. And you're just talking about companies getting more and more power and the ability to exploit those possibilities for themselves.
Exactly.
On Facebook, Jennifer writes, between Amazon Fresh, Prime Now, and Instacart, I hardly find it necessary to go to the groceries, but I'll probably check it out anyhow. Is this the future of shopping, do you think? Is this going to overwhelm the way we shop now, Todd?
I think it's possible. This, to me, is a test, and it's a test for Amazon. It's also a test for the retail industry. Will there be enough demand and enough comfort with the application of, you know, basically online principles to our physical lives for it to catch on? I will say we've got a reporter down there right now, literally right now in downtown Seattle. The line is around the block for Amazon Go. And certainly that's a function of it being a novelty and the fact that it's lunchtime in downtown Seattle. But I think there's an indication here at least that people are willing to sacrifice a little bit of that physical privacy to have that convenience.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, very few employees are in this store. There are people stocking and maybe some people making some food items, but it's fewer and fewer people. So are we going to be seeing unemployment lines around the block because of shopping like this? They're vaporizing millions of retail jobs.
If you compare it to a traditional convenience store like a 7-Eleven, there are actually more employees. It's about 1,800 square feet, this store, and they've got people working and making food in the back. They've also got somebody at the entrance, somebody checking ID at the beer and wine section, and also some employees on the floor. So they are eliminating the cashiers, but at least in Amazon's example, they are replacing that with other employees. Now, if you, though, extend that to the scale of a large grocery store, you can start to see where it does have a significant impact on jobs.
Yeah, Amazon just bought Whole Foods. Are they going to fire the cashiers?
So I asked about that. Amazon said they do not currently plan to roll this out to Whole Foods. And that's clearly a very sensitive topic, especially in the grocery industry, which is heavily unionized.
Also on Facebook, Averill writes, perfectly illustrates the ever-growing class divide. And I get that this seems fancy and elitist and techie, but is it really does this represent a class divide, the Amazon Go low employee, no checkout line store?
Well, so one of the things that I study as a part of studying artificial intelligence policy is indeed the impact on jobs. And you worry about the fact that the kinds of jobs that are going to be displaced, especially in the short run, are jobs of people that are not necessarily making a ton of money, and they're not always in a position where they can be easily retrained to do something else. And so I find compelling the arguments that say that innovations like this will lead, if anything, to more jobs because it'll expand the economy and there'll be new categories of jobs we haven't dreamt up yet. But the people that are going to be displaced in the interim are often the most vulnerable. And you see that, for example, with the trucking industry. I mean, a very plausible place where automation is going to do a massive disruption is trucking. And folks who are truckers are, you know, obviously there are many smart and interesting people among them, but they don't necessarily are not necessarily well positioned to transition easily to something else. I worry about the unevenness of the application more than I do that all the jobs are going to go away.
Right. Good point. That's University of Washington law professor and privacy expert Ryan Kahlo. And we also have Todd Bishop here from the tech news site GeekWire. We've been talking about this new Amazon Go grocery and convenience store that opened up today at 7th and Blanchard in Belltown. Any final thoughts on my opening question, which is, what's the convenience? What's it going to cost you? Final thoughts on Amazon Go, Todd?
If I had a choice of popping into an Amazon Go and versus waiting in line for the 7-Eleven clerk to serve everybody hot dogs out of the hot case.
As good as those are.
As good as they are, it can often take a long time. And this is very convenient. And if the privacy is the price to be paid, I think there clearly are a lot of people who are willing to pay it.
Yeah, lying around the block, said Todd Bishop, who visited it today. Any final thoughts, Ryan Kahlo?
just that Amazon really should do this thoughtfully and right. I mean, if this is going to take off, they need to be mindful of the privacy and security ramifications and not take advantage of consumers, in which case it could be a net really good.
Amazon Go store opening today in Seattle, and we've been talking about it with Todd Bishop and from University of Washington, Ryan Kahlo, and from you too. Thanks for your comments on Facebook, and keep listening to KUOW. We're on Twitter at KUOW. Stay tuned.